recovering addict. My name is Richard.
Amen.
And I'd like to say, I'm just like this brother, but I'm excited. He called me last night and asked me to come down, and I got diarrhea. Immediately. And it lasted, and I said, oh, shoot, I think I better go out to her tomorrow, like I'm asked, because, you know, the reason it came on was I started thinking of reasons not to come. So God, in his infinite wisdom, gave me a sign that said, get your butt down to Altoona. So here I am. I'm excited. I'm honored. I'm deeply, deeply honored. It's because I understand that this is service work. Service work is the backbone of this fellowship. This is what we do for each other. This ain't what we do for me. This is what we do for each other. Sitting up here, just got my topic at like 5 minutes after I got up here. And it said one promise, many gifts. And I'm searching in my basic text because I know there's something in my text that I can relate to. So I'm looking around and I don't want to ask anybody because I'm Richard P. So I'm looking around and I'm saying, whoa, my God, what? And dig this, man. God put three guys in my life, and I asked the first one and I asked the second one. And then they started stimulating this thing that I call a brain in my head. And boop, 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 boop. And then we found the information. Guy run into a bar. He said, bartender, give me 10 shots of tequila, quick. Bartender looked at him and lined him up. Guy hit a whopper, 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 whopper. He drink all 10. Bartender said, oh, my God. He said, give me 10 more shots of tequila, quick. Bartender say, okay, give him 10 more. He hit a whopper, 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 whopper. Bartender say, damn, man. You drinking awful fast. Cat say, yeah, you drink fast too if you had what I had. The bartender say, wow, man, what you got? Cat said, 50 cent. Now, why would I stand up here and say something like that to y'all? Because, dig this, you never know what the other guy's holding. The information that he got inside of him is always his until he shared it with you. Dig this, man. I can sit and think and sit and think and sit and think. And then I can sit and think some more and never say anything. And you'll never know how dumb I am until I open my mouth. This guy touched on a lot of things. Listen to me. No, don't listen to me. Listen to me if you choose to listen to me. My clean date is 3/24/86. No, I'm sorry, 3/24/84. I met that sister that was sharing up here at her first convention in Pittsburgh with her sponsor, who at that time was Dot T. I was so moved by Dot T because Dot T was the first person who introduced me to the principle of anonymity. She introduced me to the principle of anonymity through her sponsor. Her sponsor was a blind woman. I'm moved. I'm like, wow, why did you choose a blind woman to sponsor you? She said, because she was the only person I ever met who truly practiced anonymity. Because she could not form a judgment about you by what she saw. She could only form a judgment about you about the information and the things that you did. She shared everything about you on her experience, strength, and hope. I was in awe. Plus, she was fine. I forgot to tell you that part. My home group is Tuesday night Q&A. That means Tuesday night question and answer. We have a panel meeting where we take questions from the floor according to the basic text. The information that we give out from the questions that you ask are always referred back to our literature. So the information that you're getting from us is an opinion. Sometimes it comes a word. You may extrapolate. I learned that in college. It cost me $36,000 to learn that. So sometimes we may talk a little more about the information that we give, but the bottom line is the information comes from our text. One promise, many gifts. What is our message? I'm reading from the basic text, page, tradition number 5, page 65. What is our message? The message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That is our message. Our message is hope, and our promise is, and the promise of freedom. But what are you talking about? I live in America. I'm free. Yepper. Theoretically. But if we truly examine the depth of that word, freedom, we come up with some questions, at least I did. See, freedom, as defined in the dictionary, talks about no bondage, unlimited potential, the ability to go and come as one pleases. Freedom, the right to choose. Freedom, the right to act on those choices so long as it does not infringe upon another human being's freedom. It's a lot of definitions for one little word, but understanding where I come from, freedom meant not being in jail. Real simple. See, listen. I'm a guy who the last time he was in front of a judge, the guy looked this way and he looked that way. He said, "Mr. Vaughn, do you have anything you'd like to say before I pass sentence on you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Wait a minute. Speak." And I started running with some dribble out of my mouth, and he turned around, put his hand up, and said, "Listen, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to sentence you to 75 to 150 years in the penitentiary. Get out of here." And I walked out of that place. I was a young man then, with a young man's attitude. "Shh, I can handle that." 75 to 150? Ain't nothing but a meatball, baby. I go back up on the tier. I'm walking, you know. "Dickie, what's up, babe? What'd you get?" "Punk, the punk laid on me. He gave me a couple 20, 25, 40, running wild, baby. 75 to 150, that's what I got. Yeah, but I got this." And I walked to my cell, and I fainted. Passed straight up. Now, I'm telling you, man. I'm talking about a cat that got heart this big. I passed out. Fainted. Straight up. When I come to, they was putting smelly salts under my nose and the medics were all checking my blood pressure. Now, why did I faint? Because of the reality of what this cat had told me sunk in. When my brain absorbed that information, what it said to me is, "You are going to die in bondage." I use drugs, man. I use drugs. I use drugs in every orifice I could find. I used drugs. I shot dope in every vein that jumped up. I used drugs in my neck, in my hand, in my feet, in my legs, in my forehead, in my neck. Every day I used drugs. I was so locked up. Listen to what I'm saying. I was so locked up in the bondage of my drug use that I couldn't even recognize that I was locked up. They opened the doors and let me out of that prison, and I went right back to a one I created for myself. I created a prison that I lived in 24/7. For years. Every day I did the same thing. Any of you who've been locked up, you know, early in the morning you ring a bell and it's for count. You stand up, you step outside your cell, you look around, you see who's still there, they come by, they count you, they ring another bell, you step back inside. Well, that's just like using drugs, ain't it? Every morning I got up, I went down on the corner, I looked to see who was around. I checked him. They checked me. I gave him my money. I went back in the house. I put a paper under my arm and I read it, because just like my friend, I went to school. I was one of them kids with potential. And I sat down in my stupor, my drug-induced stupor, and I solved all the politics, the economic woes of the United States of America, who they should have in office. And I decayed. You know what decay is? That's death a little bit at a time. Until you turn to nothing but ashes. I decayed. I remember when I first got here in this program, I was very fortunate enough to be influenced by a guy that sponsored me. His name was Yusef. He was out of East Orange, New Jersey. Big brother. He stood about 6 foot more than me. He was a very gentle man. He would say things, man, in a very low voice, and he would be real quiet, and he would be so serene that I envied that. Because I, on the other hand, was full of chaos. I had no spiritual substance. I had nothing to hold on to. I came in here not believing. I came in here for the sole purpose of staying clean for a little bit, till I got out of there, finding a new way to sell dope, going back to the little town that I lived in, and become, what's that guy's name? No, what's the guy they made the movie out of? Scarface. You want to meet my little friend? That guy. You want my little friend? That was my purpose. In the interim, in between that time while I was in treatment, and I was dealing with this brother who was giving me quote-unquote spiritual advice, things began to happen. I had a spiritual awakening. And what was that? My spiritual awakening was, shit, I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to shoot dope no more. Wasn't nothing great. One day I said, oh, wow, I ain't had no dope in 22 days. I don't have to shoot dope no more. And I believed it. I said it, and I believed it. I felt it. I knew it, because I was surrounded by guys and ladies who were or had the same history as I did, and they were showing me evidence. Evidence how, Rich? Well, there was a guy I used to sit next to Thursday night meeting in Vailsburg, New Jersey. You know about that now? He would come in the meeting, man, and he had abscesses. Anybody in here know what an abscess is? I do. He would have abscesses all over his arms. And they would be open. And they would be smelling. And he would sit next to me. And he would take cotton and dab the pus on his arm. And he'd raise his hand and say, I got 30 days clean. And I said, shit. 30. Come on, man. And I went back to that beat. 30 days later, he had scabs on those abscesses. He didn't have as much Kleenex. He didn't have to dab as much. He wasn't scratching. And he raised his hand and said, I got 60 days clean. I said, damn. You know why? Because I was seeing evidence, man. My eyes were telling me evidence. He wasn't nodding in the meeting. It was evidence. He hadn't got up and walked out. That was evidence. He didn't throw shit at the speaker. That was some evidence for me. So I began to believe what he was saying, what he was saying. Not the speaker. What he was saying. That cat was sitting right next to me. I began to believe what he was saying. And I moved from that point to the old adage. If he can do it, I can do it too. When I got out of treatment, one promise, an addict, promise of freedom. Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. That is our message. Our promise is freedom. Released from bondage. How does our disease affect us? It affects us physically, mentally, and spiritually. My disease ain't the cocaine, or the heroin, or the marijuana, or the pills. That's a symptom of my disease. My attitude, my ideas, and my behaviors are definite evidence of my disease. How do I know that? Because even without the drug, I was still a damn fool. Not for days, but for years. I'm the guy that went to area service. If you vote against me, I punch you in your mouth. Real simple. What? I'm that guy. Because I thought that was the right thing to do. Because I knew what I was right. I was right. It's a little fanatical, I think, just a little over the top. But that was a reality for me. When I got out of treatment, I'm driving home. I went to treatment in East Orange VA Hospital. So I'm driving back to Coatesville, Pennsylvania in my big old Buick. With my cassette player, listening to Jeffrey Osborne. We're going all the way, cruising on cruise control. Yeah, baby. One day we're going all the way. I say, yes, baby. I'm loving it. Sun shining, big open road, nice big ride. Just woo. You ever get a big ride? Just, I'm in it. Some say, listen to me. Some say, you got dope in here. Pull straight over to the side. Still listen to Jeffrey Osborne. Still singing. You know, we're going all the way, but I'm searching the car now. I'm all up under here. I'm like, I had a friend. He was my first sponsor. His name was Griff. I had to have a sponsor while I was in that particular facility. But I had loaned him my car because while I was in treatment, my car kept calling to me. I have drugs, Rich. Come to me. It would say things like that. I'd be looking at it. come to me. There's bugs out here. And they, you know what I'm saying? I love you. Come to me. So I gave him my car. Thank you. So he took my car and he just kept it all the time I was there. And when I got my car back, I had 22 days clean. But I didn't realize that my car also had 22 days clean. So when I'm looking for the drug, you understand what I'm saying? I found little notes. What you looking here for? What's your first step? Can't use if you don't pick up. In every place I had hid some dope, this dope fiend had found it and got rid of. And in its place, he had put some spiritual information to help heal that spiritual piece of me that I was resistant to. You see, because when you talk spiritual to me, I automatically went straight religion. God. Well, I've come to understand that spirituality, as defined in Narcotics Anonymous, does not have to do with an omnipotent presence. It has to do with us dealing with the mind and the intellect. My thought process. In the first step, we must completely change our old ways of living, or what? Or go back to using. That means I got to change my mind. That means I got to work on my thought process. That means I have got to employ the freedom that you guys promised me in every area of my life. Freedom. So I gained some freedom from working the steps. I did not gain an ounce of freedom from being resistive. I gained freedom from working the steps. The steps changed my mind about life. You don't believe me? I ain't stuck y'all up. Believe me. I'm saying this, man, because that's a reality for me. That's a reality for me. I ain't talk that yang, this, that, and the other. But the bottom line, the steps changed my mind, and my mind, my thought process changed my life. Many gifts. Well, what gifts have you achieved, Richard? What gifts have you received, Richard, from this freedom? I can laugh. Think this. I can feel. I can truly understand someone else's pain because I know they can truly understand mine. Think this. I can love, man. I can be loved. Gifts, man. You want me to tell you about money? Well, here's my financial situation. According to a friend of mine I saw on I Love New York, my financial, I'm broke. I'm broke now, I'm going to be broke in the future. But the bottom line is, man, there are so many other things. Dig this, man. When I was using, I had babies. Children. Lots of them. In 1980, when I left Cincinnati, Ohio, running for my life, I dragged my children with me. Why? Because my significant other had been locked up in the penitentiary. Now, I got a habit. I got three kids. Oh, let me back that up. I got four because I was included. Some had to go. Wasn't the dope. So I had to get rid of the kids. I told them it was a temporary solution as I put them on the bus for Newark, New Jersey, and I climbed in that seat. And you ever try to shoot dope on a Greyhound bus that's moving at about 60, 5 miles an hour and you in that bathroom with that little bitty ass light and you trying to get your shit on and your kids is in the back, Daddy, hurry up, will you get the away from me because I'm sick. Took my kids and dropped them off with their aunt Constance, the rock man of my life. Told her I'm going to the store. They ain't seen me no more for 12 years. Next time my kids saw me, I was at an NA convention in Columbus, Ohio, speaking. And an addict walked them right down that aisle right there and presented me with amends that I had to make. I was able to tell them the truth and make up no excuses. I told them the truth, and it hurt to tell the truth. It hurt because somewhere in my mind I truly believed that at some point they still had respect for me. They still had love for me. I was a good father because I gave them up rather than drag them through the hell that I knew I was going through. It was a lie I perpetrated, and it was a lie I lived. One of the gifts that I have received in this fellowship is the gift of forgiveness. The gift of acceptance. The gift of surrender. Well, how do you know when you surrendered? I know when I have surrendered, when that thing that I am so struggling so hard with does not shake me in my spirit, no matter how it appears, again and again and again. I'm an addict. It don't matter whether you call me an addict, my sister called me an addict, the guy on the bus called me an addict, the bus driver called me an addict. I don't care. It's a truth. So I don't let that disturb my core. If it disturbs my core, then I have some problems with the acceptance and surrender piece. Gifts. To embrace friends. Why is that a gift? Because dig this, man. No man is an island. I can't do this thing by myself. No matter how I try. My sponsor told me, listen, man, who you listening to? I said, nobody. He said, that's why you're so f***ed up. You ain't listening to nobody? No. I say, what? Listen to me. You need to listen to everybody but yourself. Damn, heavy, heavy. He used to drop some real heavy stuff on me. Like, shit. Up. Stupid. I don't do that to other people because I'm scared they'll punch me in my mouth. So I just look at them like this. And most of the time it works. I think that means somebody want to come in. Okay. I got you. I'm not going to say a lot. All I'm going to say, man, is if I wake up in the morning, I make prayer. The religion that I follow requires me to make prayer several times a day. At the end of the prayer, I'm allowed to state my intentions before my God. One thing that I have prayed for over the years is, please let me be an instrument of your will and your power. Let me help somebody today. I truly believe that that is a gift and a blessing. The diversity of our fellowship dictates information to me, and part of the information that I get from that is everybody I talk to ain't going to listen to me. But they going to listen to somebody. Now that somebody might not be Richard, and I can't get mad about that. I'm saying to you guys, man, that I have. Okay, here's something for you. I'm 61 years old. I know, ladies. I know it's hard to believe that. But I have never, ever, ever experienced the love, the acceptance, or the open-mindedness that I received in these rooms, man. You cats gave me a life, and that's the biggest gift that I've received from a Narcotics Anonymous. Promise was fulfilled a long time ago. It's the gifts that I'm living on today. I thank you guys for letting me share. Recovering addict, my name is Richard. Thanks for your time.